Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Listen Now, the podcast where we go through the most important rock and roll albums of all time. This season we're focusing on albums from the 1980s. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and with me, as always, is my co-cousin, co-host, Sam Tonkin. Welcome, Sam.
Hello, hello. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. And this week, we're going to be talking about Bon Jovi's massive third album, 1986's Slippery When Wet, voted as the ninth most popular 80s rock album by our listeners.
Yes.
And I know you love John Bon.
He was my second. John Bon Jovi, the singer of the band Bon Jovi, was my second crush as a child, with the first being Zach from Hanson.
Okay.
And I moved on to a much older man. I loved him. Right. I was so in love with Bon Jovi all through high school as well. He was just a beautiful man.
Yeah.
He's hot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just sort of skin deep kind of.
Oh, absolutely. No depth. But one of my obsession albums as a 10 or 11 year old was Crossroads, which was like their best of up until like the early 90s or mid 90s or something.
Oh, yeah.
So I knew a lot of the bigger hits because of that album.
It's interesting they had a greatest hits sort of mid-career there.
Yeah, well, I think they took a couple of hiatuses. Hiati? Is that
right?
Is that a plural? And that was, I think, after the first one. I didn't actually look up when that one was released, but I'm just going to speculate.
1994.
Thank you.
I recognize that cover. That was a real big album, I think.
Yeah, it was great.
That's interesting. So that had songs from 84 up until 92, it looks like. Looks like Keep the Faith.
Oh, yeah, the one after this.
Keep the Faith. Faith. Oh, it's interesting. It's also got Blaze of Glory, a solo John Bon.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. There you go.
Fun fact. But that's not the album we're doing today.
It isn't.
What was your relationship with Bon Jovi?
Bon Jovi, I mean, you know, just knew their big hits. I knew Living on a Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Knew Keep the Faith.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Always.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted Dead or Alive.
Mm-hmm.
Lay Your Hands on Me.
Mm-hmm.
You Give Love a Bad Name.
Mm-hmm.
Bed of Roses.
Mm-hmm.
Blaze of Glory, solo song. Bad Medicine.
Yep.
Maybe that's all I know. I'm just going through the best of. I reckon they're the only ones I know by name.
Was there anyone's in there that you didn't know by name?
Runaway.
Oh, that was their first single.
Yeah. I listened to that today to see if I knew it and I didn't know it. In and Out of Love.
In and Out of Love. It starts like that. They just sing that a bunch of times.
I'll Be There for You.
Yes. I'll be there for you.
Oh, yeah. I'll
live and I'll die for you.
Yeah.
Oh, these are like my absolute top favorite karaoke songs to sing.
Right.
Belters.
I see. So you loved them. I knew them, but I don't think apart from, funnily enough, his song, I really like Blaze of Glory. And that was
his solo hit.
And apparently he was asked, his friend was one of the actors, maybe Emilio Estevez, who is
in fact true, yes.
In the film Young Guns 2.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked if they could have
Dead or Alive.
Wanted Dead or Alive, which is off this album.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up writing a new song for it instead, which was Blaze of Glory. And they're both kind of, and it was interesting, it does feel like they're partner songs.
They do.
So they got their country, western, sort of old west vibe about them.
Yeah. He was also in the film on Young Guns 2, but he was uncredited.
You were reading today.
Yep. We're on the same page.
But yeah, I also quite like Wanted Dead or Alive. So whatever that sort of spaghetti western rock is or whatever it is, I obviously jives with me a little bit because a lot of the rest of it doesn't necessarily.
Did you say jives with you?
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Heckle and Mr. Jives with
Jives.
Me. Which is a song we talked about last week.
So bad.
Do you want to tell us a bit about the Bon Jovi story? I was reading a little bit about it today, and then I thought, wait. Hey, don't read.
Spoiler.
Sam tell it into your ears. Then you don't even have to read.
Yeah, shut your
like
damn
a
eyes.
Nerd.
Nude. So they formed in 1983 in New Jersey with John Bon Jovi, David Bryan, Tico Torres. Phil X is the current guitarist, but it used to be Richie Sambora and Hugh McDonald on bass.
But it didn't start that way.
No, it didn't.
This is the problem with me having read. Now I know that some of the things you're saying.
Take it away, Matt. Take it away. You do it. No, you do it.
Well, I'm just saying, he was singing from a very young age.
He was. From what age, Matt?
12.
13. Wrong.
Well, you know, time difference. So it actually 12. Sorry, I was saying 12 Australian time, but yeah, 13 technically due to American time. But and then I was wondering if, because, you know, I thought they might have been inspired by Van Halen, and how they named the band. But it does seem like Bon Jovi put the band together. So it makes more sense in this case that it was named after him. But supposedly Van Halen got the name from a suggestion by David Lee Roth, or at least that's what David Lee Roth says.
David Lee Roth would say that too.
He would say that.
He would.
And then he kind of put this band together and he heard Sambora playing. Someone suggested him
and he heard him
in a few other, playing for a few other bands, and he brought him in. And they were, I guess they wrote the songs together for the most part.
Yeah. Richie Sambora had been called up to audition for Kiss at some stage, which is pretty cool. Just as a side note.
Yeah, that he didn't get the job for Kiss.
Yeah. He got called up to audition and they were like, nah, thanks, but no thanks, actually. So Runaway, the first single that they ever released, he recorded in his cousin's studio when he was a teenager, I think. Late teens, maybe. And his cousin, Tony Bon Jovi, that's a fun name.
Yeah.
Had a studio and he recorded it in that. In Manhattan, I think, and he made several demos, which included one produced by Billy Squire, who, if you have seen the movie Billy Madison, you would know the song The Stroke.
Yeah, I've seen him play it live.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
At a festival in New Orleans.
How'd that go?
It was great. He did a different version of it with like a big horn band.
Cool.
Brass band. Horn band.
I knew exactly what you meant, though.
Yeah, and it was quite a different version. And he was talking about how around that time there was Eminem was sampling it.
Oh, no. So that's, the Big Beat, which is also sampled. Oh, no, yeah, that's, sorry, I'm jumping around now. Eminem uses The Stroke in 2013, I think.
Well, that's when I was over there.
Yeah, so that was when the Eminem was using it. And then The Big Beat, which, do you want to actually find that little song there. It is literally called The Big Beat. And that is one of the most sampled drum breaks and has been used by Run DMC, Alicia Keys, Jay-Z, and Dizzy Rascal.
Oh, yeah.
The Dizzy Rascal
I've
I want to
got the big beat.
Fix up, look sharp.
Is that where I know it from, Dizzy Rascal?
Yeah. And it's literally, you know, sometimes they sample and it's like, I was going to say mutated. That's not right. It's changed a little bit.
Yeah.
I think about the word I'm trying to find. But Dizzy Rascal pretty much is exactly that.
That's sick.
So, yeah. So, you know.
I imagine I saw him play that song too.
Probably.
I just thought I would have been like, sampling Dizzy Rascal.
Classic Dizzy. So the song Runaway was...
What? Why were you talking about Billy Squires?
One of the songs that John Bon Jovi did on his demos when he was like just starting out. One of them was produced by that guy, Billy Squire.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. There was a point to this diversion this time for once. So Runaway ended up, got picked up a bit in the New York area, and then other sister stations in the major markets also picked up the song. By March 83, Bon Jovi had to call a few friends together to do a short tour to support the single, Runaway. And so David Bryan, who was originally in the band, John Bon Jovi and David Bryan met when they were about 16 and had a little band together. But he ended up quitting. Yeah.
This is Runaway.
I think this is like the...
It sounds like 80s teen movies.
Oh, God, yeah.
Montage is about to happen. Sports montage. Or maybe like a... some sort of a soft drink ad.
It's definitely like someone training for a montage.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I like, because I've known this from Crossroads, I can't really differentiate the different albums.
Oh, this
like
sounds so
over it.
Different to me. So I didn't mean to distract, although you were going to keep talking and we were going to play it underneath, but you just...
I got excited.
You looked into the middle distance. I don't know if you know this, but you were just quietly saying, John Bon, come to me.
I love you.
John, I love you, John Bon.
You're a beautiful man. Fact. So David Bryan, original like OOG member, ended up quitting in order to study medicine. But while he was in college...
That's all he wanted.
I wonder if that's why that... Anyway, while in college, realized that he actually did want to pursue music full-time and was accepted to Juilliard School, which is a very famous New York music school. And then John Bon Jovi called to say he was putting together a band for Runaway and that a record deal looked likely. So David Bryan quit college for music to go play music. And that obviously worked out pretty well for him. So that was by 1984, Runaway managed to crack the top 40. But the recording for the first album was very stressful. Bon Jovi's talked about it, saying, "We weren't a good band. We didn't become a good band until the third record. But we had a drummer who could keep time, which you should never keep for granted." He was really stressed because he didn't know anything about vocals and how you might record it. The same track a few times and then the producer would piece it together. So he was stressed that was happening. Like, oh my God, I'm so bad that they have to put my vocals together for me. And the engineer was saying, "Don't fret, John." Even Freddie Mercury and the greats had to have comp a vocal. And then I didn't realize that there was a second album. I thought Slippery When Wet was the second album. So in 1985, they released 7,800 Degrees Fahrenheit. Which was recorded in 6 weeks between January and March 85 in Pennsylvania. And it was the second and final collab between Bon Jovi and the producer. They were using Lance Quinn. So it's very runs alongside Cold Chisel, hated the first couple of albums, hated the producers they were working with. The only song I knew off that second album was In and Out of Love. The drummer receives his single writing credit for the entirety of their career.
Is it the same drummer the whole way through?
Yeah, I think so, which is cool. And despite being a fan favorite, the album, actually both of the first albums, until recently, like in the last decade, they didn't play any of the songs from the first two albums live.
Oh, right.
Once the third album came out, what we're talking about today, they pretty much just pretended like the first two didn't exist because they're in such bad headspaces about it.
Right.
Like Bon Jovi said, always overlook the second album, always have, always will. We had no time to make it. We didn't know who we were. We did whatever Lance Quinn, the producer, said. He was a brilliant guitarist. He'd made records with Talking Heads, so we listened. All of us were going through tough times on a personal level. The strain The strain told on the music we produced. It wasn't a pleasant experience.
Right.
None of us want to live in that mental state ever again. So it was pretty, it sounds like a pretty negative. But yeah, it really reminded me of the Cold Chisel story from the first album, also first two albums. And then 1986 comes along.
Yeah, what changes? All of a sudden, they're loving life.
New producer, man.
That was all, apparently, all it took.
That's, yeah. So they had a new producer. They got huge widespread success, global recognition with Slippery When Wet. It sold over 20 million copies, included three top 10 singles, two of which reached number one in the US. And again, you hear this a lot about a lot of artists' biggest songs. Bon Jovi was initially reluctant to include Living on a Prayer because he did not believe it was good enough.
Yeah, right.
And Richie Sambora convinced him that it was a hit in the making, so they re-recorded it, and it is now, I think, the biggest.
It's their
signature song, I guess. Yeah. And all songs on the album were by John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora, except for You Gave Love a Bad Name, which was written with Desmond Child, who has also been known for such hits as Kiss, I Was Made for Loving You, Joan Jett, I Hate Myself for Loving You. He also did Living on a Prayer, Bad Medicine, Aerosmith's Dude Looks Like a Lady, Alice Cooper's Poison, Michael Bolton's How Can We Be Lovers, and Ricky Martin's The Cup of Life and Livin' La Vida Loca.
Yeah, he's a gun.
He's done it. He's done a couple.
Gun for hire.
Yeah, pretty much. And that leads us into the album.
Well, let me give it a little review here from Andrew Leahy from AllMusic. And Andrew writes, Slippery When Wet wasn't just a breakthrough album for Bon Jovi. It was a breakthrough for hair metal in general.
You!
Making the point where the genre officially entered the mainstream. Released in 1986, it presented a streamlined combination of pop, hard rock, and metal that appealed to everyone, especially girls whom traditional heavy metal often ignored. Slippery When Wet was more indebted to pop than metal, though, and the band made no attempt to hide its commercial ambition, even hiring an outside songwriter to co-write two of the album's biggest singles. The trick paid off as Slippery When Wet became the best-selling album of 1987, beating out contenders like Appetite for Destruction, The Joshua Tree, and Michael Jackson's Bad. Bloody hell.
That's hectic.
Part of the album's success could be attributed to Desmond Child, the behind-the-scenes songwriter who went on to write hits for Aerosmith, Michael Bolton, and Ricky Martin, as you just said. With Child's help, Bon Jovi penned a pair of songs that would eventually define their career, Living on a Prayer and You Give Love a Bad Name, two teenage anthems that mix Springsteen's blue-collar narratives with straightforward guitar-driven hooks. The band's characters may have been down on their luck. They worked dead-end jobs, pined for dangerous women, and occasionally rode steel horses. But Bon Jovi never presented a problem that couldn't be cured by a good chorus, every one of which seemed to celebrate a glass-half-full mentality. Elsewhere, the group turned to nostalgia, using songs like Never Say Goodbye and Wild in the Streets to recreate or fabricate an untamed, sex-filled youth that undoubtedly appealed to the band's teen audience. Bon Jovi wasn't nearly as hard-edged as Motley Crue or technically proficient as Van Halen, but the guys smartly played to their strengths, shunning the extremes for an accessible, middle-of-the-road approach that wound up appealing to more fans than most of their peers. It's all right if you have a good time, John Bon Jovi sang on Slippery When Wet's first track, Let It Rock. And those words essentially served as a mantra for the entire hair metal genre, whose carefree, party-heavy attitude became the soundtrack for the rest of the 80s.
Nice.
Yeah, right. That's a really good review.
I was about to say, that's probably the review I've agreed with most.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, I mean, it's called a review, but it's not massively a review of the album. It's more
just them,
a review of the band and
yeah,
where they came in and the where hair metal was at the time and stuff. But I found that very interesting.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, well, should we get into the album?
Yeah, crack on.
All right, well, the first track, and I think having talked a little bit before, I think it sounds like you're going to love this album more than me, but there are a few shining lights on it, but there's a few absolute shockers for me, but let's see how we go. If you give me Uno Momento.
Just Uno.
Just the Uno, please.
Remix.
Draw four. So opening track is Let It Rock. And it's a fair old intro, which I love. I love on a hair metal or a
theatrics.
Big rock.
You can imagine album. There's like the lights have just gone down at the concert. And then this kind of kicks off and you're like, oh, it's about to start.
It's totally built for that, right? It's built to open up a big arena rock show.
They like, I think someone refers to them as stadium rock or arena rock.
Yeah, they're totally, made to be arena rock. I find this fun. This song is pretty bad, but I find this intro pretty fun.
The song is shocking. It's like a love hate. Like, it's terrible. It's fun, but it's just.
I'm still into it here. It's fine.
this kind of whatever music, like the organ that they're playing.
Yeah, it's
right,
all a churchy
never,
sort of stuff.
Never pops up again.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Wow, wow, wow. Even this is all fine. I don't know. I think it's...
It's the lyrics.
It's the lyrics, isn't really it? It's the lyrics that really...
Seven days too soon.
What? I love lyrics that make you think,
actually. The maths don't check out for me, though.
I mean, this is it. Do we need to play much more of it? I think we get the point.
No, you got to get to the chorus. You can fast forward to the chorus.
Feels like we're building to it now.
Can't stop the fire, Matt. Burning out of control.
Not the worst song on the album. No. I think it's fine. It's a fine, big, dumb rock song to open it with. Track two is one of their iconic ones. You Give Love a Bad Name. Written by the sort of master songwriter
Desmond
Child.
Desmond, whose real name?
Keep wanting to say Destiny's Child.
Yeah, Desmond's real name is John Charles Barrett. Nice. Just for fun facts. I think the film clip to this is fantastic. I'm pretty sure it's just like a whole bunch of clips from like backstage and shit. Get that chug chug. You can't break free.
I find it, I don't know what to say about these big songs. Like, again, they're just songs you've heard a million times.
Yeah.
Every late night suburban pub, you know, high school and uni pub night.
Absolutely.
The cover bands would play this.
Whack it on at the
But
outline.
Even more so, yeah. Living on a Prayer.
Which is up next.
It's super catchy. You can probably hear the finesse that Desmond Child gave it.
Bad name.
Over some of the other lyrics and stuff, maybe? I'm not sure. And, yeah. This one, again,
it's just a
song
it's
that's
it's
everywhere.
A belter.
Yeah, it's a... It's not its fault that I've heard it too much. And that's Sambora on the vocoder or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah, the vocoder.
Is that a vocoder?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Have you seen what it actually looks like?
Yeah, it's like a tube.
That's like goes in his mouth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Foo Fighters used it on Generator.
Is there any other...
Still a vocoder mix.
I'm pretty sure Cher on Believe in Life After Love. Do you believe in
love? This is the band where they've got the keyboardist has got like the Maggie Noodle hair.
Yes, yeah. Yes it is. What's his name too?
You can sort of you hear what the reviewer said with the Bruce Springsteen.
Yes, that was the thing that like really got me like right into that review. I'm like, damn, he's got this.
And they're both actually, New Jersey acts.
Why is Bruce New Jersey as well?
Yeah.
There you go.
Just in terms of arena rock, sing along,
absolutely
anthem stuff, it's.
David Bryan is the magic noodle hair, the 2 minute noodle hair.
Yeah, I can't. I can't hate this song.
You can't. You just can't.
It's a banger. The next one I can hate and do.
Yeah.
Social Disease. I think this is the worst song on the album.
Easily. And it's just this for a little bit.
Oh, let me skip it.
At the end, though, it's like, is that it? Oh, yeah, right there. Already, I'm like, it's just.
It's mainly the chorus lyrics, but everything about it is just. It's cheese to the max.
Oh, yeah.
Love is a social disease.
Yeah. Cop that love.
Let me see. Well, the next one though, I think the next one's, I know it is also cheese turned up to the max. But for some reason, I love like they'll do real bad cheese and real good cheese. I can't tell you what makes the difference.
Myself and your brother-in-law sang this at karaoke once, and we fucking smashed it.
It's
tooting your own horn.
It's a sick tune. On a steel horsey rust.
On a steel horsey rust.
I mean, probably even worse than Love is a Bad Disease. On a steel horse I ride.
I didn't know what that meant until I was into my 20s.
Well, it's actually a pretty adult subject.
Steel horse.
But yeah, I don't know. I love this sort of twangy shit. And
yeah, it's good. I'm about it. I know what you mean.
On a steel horse I ride.
I want it.
Dead or alive.
Want it.
It's hard not to go 0 to 100, sure. Anyway, we can't play all of this. The next one is one that I didn't know that I'm right into.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is fun. I love that riff.
More chug chug.
It just feels. It's just fun hair metal party music.
Party, yeah, it is. It's like party rock. You got a nasty reputation.
It's funny that I've called out some of these songs for cheese. Every single song on here is full cheese.
Oh, absolutely. Grand
Did you see how the album. the original album cover was disallowed?
Yes, the original album cover, where is it, was a described as a busty woman with a wet yellow t-shirt with the album name on the front of the shirt. It also had a pink border, bright pink border around it. And Bon Jovi said no of the pink border, and the
it's the funny because it
said no for the busty woman.
Oh right, it totally changes the vibe of the album.
It looks ridiculous,
from bright,
doesn't it?
Summery fluoro colors to, you know, like looks like middle of winter.
Yeah, do you know concrete. What it is? The new one, or the one that got released? It's a garbage bag that had been covered in water, and someone had just written with their finger "slippery when wet."
Yeah, right. Oh, there you go.
So that's that one for you.
What's up next? I've passed the reins over to you.
Next, thank you.
My computer died. People don't need to know that. Oh, we just did it so perfectly and quietly.
It was so smooth.
And then
no one even noticed.
I had to get the cat out of the bag.
Oh, wow, Matt, you're a professional.
The monkey's come out of the sleeve. So.
Next song on the album, though, is I'd Die For You.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
this
sounds like the same of
Runaway.
All of the starts of... Yeah, it does! Oh my gosh, it totally does!
It's got that... It's a real... The keyboardist has got his style, obviously.
He knows what works for him.
But this is back to that team sport montage sort of thing.
Yeah, I want to find the video of it, but I'm on YouTube, so those might be an
Without
ad.
Love. Do you think Bon Jovi would have lived a second of his life without love? I doubt it.
No.
Man would have been surrounded by the stuff.
All of it. All of the above.
Me too, because I live for love, and I love to live.
We love to live. Love is not a social disease for us, Matt.
Not for me, no.
No.
That was a sad story to hear from John Bon.
Must have been a character that he was playing, because it's certainly not John Bon.
No. He wouldn't even be able to go method for that. He just wouldn't even... No. There's nowhere inside him he could access
he
that.
Know. He just can't. Can't bring himself
to it. They reference Romeo and Juliet. Because
classic love story of two children that met and killed themselves within 3 days.
Beautiful story. Oh, wait, this is I'll Die For You.
Yep.
I'm talking about it like it's Without Love. Do we skip Without Love?
Potentially.
Without Love is the more of the slower ballady one.
We'll find it, though.
I'd die for you, I'd cry for you. I don't know how he came up with these lyrics, but...
Lyrical genius. Alright, so we're going to skip one back.
Ooh. The old switcheroo.
Unprecedented. And hopefully we're not going to cop an ad, please.
So this is Without Love.
And we're going to cop an ad.
Oh,
well,
Sam, what is this? It's got a feeling of amateur hour over here.
It does, but it was only 5 seconds.
I passed over the reins, and I thought, Sam's ready to step up.
Was it a pass over, or was it more of a panic throw? Take it! Also, can we just appreciate the opening lyrics of this song?
Wait, what? She wasn't young, but still a child.
Oh, it gets me every time. It's so silly.
It is pretty fun when people are going for poetry and sort of not quite nailing it.
I've always wanted to write a song, and I've always feared that that is the type of lyric that I write. So I've never done it.
Because
I'm scared someone's going to do a podcast about me one day and be like, this dumb bitch.
That's really hard.
Photograph with photograph.
Yeah. Oh, she's squeezed another cliche in.
Yeah, that would be me.
Another hack rhyme.
Hack artiste.
All right, I've heard enough of this.
Yeah, that was terrible.
That song is a filler.
Which is... Okay, because the next one is Back to Bangers.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Never Say Goodbye.
Yes, okay, good. We're on the right track now.
Never Say Goodbye.
Oh, and his hair is so big in this film clip.
It's I love that you think this is a banger. This is
I love this song. It's also
an emotional banger at best. I feel like difference for this is, was this on that compilation album you had?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I think that's the only difference between this song and Without Love. That's the only difference. You've heard this a million times.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is also real bad.
I'm not even going to argue with you. It's true.
But it's also probably fine. Whatever.
It's, I mean, he's living his best life. Baby. By busting out, we break their hearts together. Never say goodbye.
Just feels like it's just a hair metal ballad.
Yep.
It's just... But maybe they were one of the first to do it and they all sound like this later. I don't know, but...
I don't know.
But I'm happy to move on to the final track, Wild in the Streets.
It definitely sounds like the song that they'd play at, like, the happy conclusion of a John Hughes movie kind of thing, don't you reckon?
Wild in the Streets, yeah.
No, the one before.
Oh, Never Say Goodbye. Never Say Goodbye. If it was a funeral, maybe. A happy funeral ending of a John Hughes movie. This feels more like the happy end to a teen film.
This is like...
They're at the disco. They're at the prom.
Good old disco.
Disco prom.
Oh, this film clip's fantastic. It's just more... I think all of their film clips, bar a very small handful, is just clips of concerts and, like, backstage shenanigans.
Right.
This is a fun song.
This is quite Bruce-ish. Springsteen-y.
Yeah?
I think so. You know, with... Bon Jovi kind of cheese on top.
Oh yeah, there's no cheese with the boss.
He does a little bit of cheese now and then.
Wild in the streets. Was it just mandatory in like the 80s that all of the singers were like shirtless and ripped?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Not like now when all the pop stars are. are unfit. I think it's just that's been pop music ever since MTV, probably, or more and more as time goes on.
Fucking true, hey.
Abcell. All right.
Does that conclude?
It does. I mean, it's a bit up and down, but you can sort of see why it's so big, but it just feels pretty flimsy as an album, but. There are some great classic tunes on there.
Some good shit on there.
There's a bit that I still love. I think there's a fair bit of filler. Maybe 4 out of 10 just feel like genuine filler.
Yeah. But I'm not even gonna argue. Yeah, it's true.
Social Disease is one of the worst songs of all time.
It's so bad.
But some of the other ones are like they're the perfect hair metal anthem tracks as well.
They had a formula and they fucking knew how to do it.
So I think it's definitely fun, you know, when some of those songs come on and you're at a bar in the middle of the night.
Oh, and you've had one or seven beers.
Who wants we're doing shots?
Yeah, oh my god, it totally is. You're like, yeah, let's get into it. The night's just beginning, and then you're in bed in 45 minutes.
What do I have those shots?
It's so bad. Wah. Do you want some fun facts?
Yeah, I'd love some fun facts.
So John Bon Jovi's real name is John Francis Bon Jovi, but it's one word, and it's B-O-N-G-I-O-V-I.
Yeah.
Junior.
It's a bit more, so it's, yeah. I was wondering about that because the actual way he spells it looks more like a name. I've never seen another Bon Jovi spell like this, but Bon Jovi how it's sort of more Italian.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's Italian.
It is. So his parents were both Marines. His dad is John Francis Bon Jovi Sr. And is of Sicilian and Slovak ancestry. His mum was also a Marine and turned Playboy bunny turned florist, Carol Sharkey.
Hey, we've all done those three. Classic.
Classic.
Classic career path.
Absolute. And she
She was an actual Playboy bunny.
Yeah.
Wow.
She is of German and Russian descent. And he's stated once before, John Bon Jovi has stated once before that he's a blood relative of Frank Sinatra, although I couldn't confirm it any further than that. So
right.
I want to see the ancestry test, but that's fine. And John Bon Jovi is also a credited actor and has been in a bunch of movies, but probably the biggest name movies have been Pay It Forward and New Year's Eve. And he was also in a few TV shows, including Sex and the City, 30 Rock, Las Vegas, West Wing. And he had an extended stint on Ally McBeal as a plumber who was Ally's boyfriend for a short period.
Yeah, right. An extended extended stint for a short period.
Yep.
I just don't know what to believe.
It's like, was it last episode? You were confident, sort of?
Yeah, I was sort of confident.
You're very sort of confident, but
yeah,
I guess.
100%, pretty much.
Mostly, probably.
That's some fun facts.
Yeah. What do you rate this album?
I reckon I rate it, I would say maybe like, it's out of 80. I mean, it's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Like it's maybe a...
I like to think so.
I would say, and I've got to bring down some of these other scores I've given throughout the season, looking back at them now, but I would say it is maybe like a 49.
Wow. That's I would say that's less than good.
That's too low.
Well,
there's too many good tunes on here. I'm going to say 56.
So Nine Inch Nails was better?
Oh, fuck, I don't know. This is so ridiculous. It was hard enough comparing Cold Chisel to Cold Chisel.
No,
how do you compare Bon Jovi to Nine Inch Nails?
And the Smiths and Joan Jett.
I'm finding this difficult.
Yep.
I mean, I've enjoyed them all on some level.
Yeah.
This one was the one that I've enjoyed the least.
Really?
There's a few songs on it I think are really fun and I'm all happy to hear, but there's a lot of it that it was a hard listen.
Yep.
Maybe I needed to give it more time.
Is this you talking to me or me talking to you?
Well,
this feels like the reverse of the usual conversation.
You said to me a while ago that I'm too positive, and now you're thinking. Now you're saying I'm too negative. I just can't keep up with you, Sam.
Me neither. I don't even know what's happening anymore. But just to continue with our role reversal, I'm giving it a 73.
Holy shit!
Yeah, I love this album. I probably would have given it a little bit lower, but I definitely rate it higher than Surfer Rosa, so it got one more point.
Gotcha. Yeah, right. Well, that's the equal highest score we've given this season.
No, mine was 78.
Oh.
For INXS.
INXS, yeah, right. Yeah, your childhood loves.
I can't help
have,
it.
Have done well.
Yeah, Michael Hutchence, honestly, gorgeous. But in saying that, probably David Lee Roth probably could have gone higher, but... The album was a bit filler for me, but we're not talking about Van Halen today. Today we are wrapping up.
No, this did kind of feel like just like Van Halen Light a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's how they've been described a lot. It's just
right.
like the you know, minimal calorie version.
Right. But yeah, they're fun and they got like that
rock light.
Like I don't think Van Halen ever did that twangy Old West stuff.
Oh, we probably should. We should play. What's it? Blaze of Glory.
Oh yeah, I love Blaze of Glory.
And apologies
June.
If
I remember the film clip very vaguely, but he's standing playing his acoustic guitar on a cliff edge.
He's in the desert.
Oh, I can hear that wind blowing. Oh, is that like a rattlesnake?
That's that real twangy shit. Hey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, tight leather pants and the vest.
The times.
He's hotter than David Lee Roth.
Absolutely. David Lee Roth has not aged well either, but John Bon Jovi, he's still got it. He's got the real salt and pepper going. Bam. Just walking moodily through the desert.
I've never seen any of these Young Gun films. I imagine they're no good, but I also want to watch them all of a sudden.
As I raise my weary head, I got an old coat for a pillow, and the earth was last night's bed.
I don't know where I'm going. Only God knows where I've been. I'm a dead man run. A six-gun lover.
A candle in the wind. Yeah.
This song's sick.
Oh, and it's like, it looks like an old drive-in at the top of the cliff.
Right.
I wonder if that was already there or if they're like, you know, it would make a great.
Because they play clips on it, don't they? From the film?
Yeah, they do.
This is in the early 90s. Music budgets were ridiculous. They built that just for this, no doubt.
His clothing budget is tiny because he's wearing pants and like the flimsiest vest ever that's like flapping in the wind.
Costs a lot to look that naked.
Can me if you can. In a blaze of glory, take me now to know the
truth. You got any letters in the letters bag to Alan this week?
We do. Sorry, Bon Jovi. We love you.
Hey, you didn't have to kill him.
I can put him back. Come back to Bon Jovi.
No, all right. Let him down to rest.
He's gone.
Lay him down on a bed of roses.
Oh. That wasn't on this album. That's
no,
a great
it wasn't
song.
On this album.
We won't go into it. We'll talk about it another time. So the first one is from Sean Gallagher from Chicago, the Windy City.
Chicago.
Chicago. So glad you guys are back. I'd like to give the story of my one and only concert.
Whoa, that's cool.
My one friend was a huge concert person and was very annoyed I had never been to one, so she told me I was required to go to one with her. The extra ticket she had was to Carly Rae Jepsen, pre-Lollapalooza show. That's not where I expected this to go. I've never listened to anything by her besides the obvious song, so I did the good old deep dive. Her music slaps. She is now one of my favorite artists.
Yeah, right. I've heard that about Carly Rae Jepsen. She's got some stuff.
Really? Yeah. I haven't heard of her since Call Me Maybe. Emotion Side B is a top-tier album. Now, the actual concert was a rip-roaring time, even though I got food poisoning the day before and didn't get to participate in the crazy dance party and adult beverages like I would have loved to. Cheers, mates.
Cheers, mate.
Anya.
From the Windy City. Who was it from the Windy City?
Sean Gallagher.
Cheers, Sean Gallagher.
And then our last letter of the year, I believe this is going to be.
I think we're possibly taking maybe a couple of weeks off for the Christmas break.
Enjoy a little Xmas period. So I think we'll come back in the new year refreshed.
Yeah, we're
ready to go.
The top eight albums.
Yeah, everyone loves a top eight. But our last email for 2020 and also... See you 2020. Not nice knowing you, you dickhead. We've got James from West Yorkshire, England. Hi, Sam and Matt. What's your favorite Christmas song? I can't say that. Mine are Tom Waits' Christmas Card from a Hooker in Minneapolis and Kelly Clarkson's Underneath the Tree, which is an underrated modern Christmas banger. Thanks for the great podcast, and Sam, keep singing. Well... You copped that this episode, so thank you in postscript.
I would say I love that Tom Waits song. I was listening to it today, actually.
I don't know if I know it. Shall I?
Yeah, if you got it there.
Will YouTube it?
Or do you want to chuck us the aux back? Because I've got a little bit of power.
You're alive again?
Yeah.
Come on, computer. Smooth transition happening. Smooth transitioning.
All right, so what was the first one? Was Tom Waits?
Christmas Card from a Hooker in Minneapolis.
popped out. The ox popped out. Here we go.
It's so cooked.
What was the other one? I'll line up the next one as well.
Kelly Clarkson, Underneath the Tree.
Charlie, I'm pregnant.
Jesus, that is not the voice I thought I was about to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Right above a dirty bookstore of Euclid Avenue.
I stopped taking dope. I quit drinking whiskey. My old man plays the trombone, works out at the track. He says that he loves me, even though it's not his baby.
I love this tune.
His voice is beautiful.
Then this is Kelly Clarkson, Underneath the Tree. What an amazing double shot.
That's
he's offered us here.
This is fun.
Yeah, this has got a classic, modern classic sort of Mariah Carey world.
Yes, yes. And like, because we've mentioned her, I love that Mariah Carey song. I don't necessarily love her, but Jesus, that's a good song.
The big one?
Yeah.
Would that be your one?
I always loved Blink-182's I Won't Be Home for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And Paul Kelly,
How to Make Gravy.
How to Make Gravy is a classic
as
well.
Oh, yeah. I'll play some of that. That's great. That'd be up there for me too.
Should we make a little mini Christmas playlist of like non-Christmas songs?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
I love this song.
Like, it's a beautiful song.
I thought you were going to say Christmas Time, Don't Let the Bells End.
No.
No?
I don't know it.
Oh, I'll play it next. You'll love it.
Hello, Dan.
Is Joe here?
I hope you're keeping well.
Hearing this at Meredith, before Chisel, start of the year.
Oh, yeah. God, I can't believe that was like nearly 12 months ago.
Amazing.
Jesus.
If I get good behavior, I'll be out of here by July.
Actually, this will be out on the 21st of December.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. How funny is that?
Which is called Gravy Day in Australia because of this song.
Yeah.
Look up all these songs if you're interested, obviously. This one's Christmas Time, Don't Let the Bells End by The Darkness.
Oh, yes, I fucking love The Darkness.
It's a great film clip as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Justin Hawkins. He is just a weird motherfucker.
It's a banging Christmas tune as well. It was around when they broke. I think it was after the first album, before the second maybe.
Oh, okay. Wow, so it's early.
Yeah.
Shit, I wonder why I didn't... I was obsessed with the first two albums, so
right.
I am disappointed in myself for not knowing this.
Don't Let the Bells End as well. It's such a bad label. Play on words.
So good. Actually, The Darkness was the concert that I saw right before the old Roan hit and we went into lockdown.
Right.
It was like 2 weeks prior or something.
I just want to play lots of Christmas songs now.
Me too!
This, you know, the Dropkick Murphys one's pretty great. Season's Upon Us.
I reckon I'll know it when I hear it. They got some good shit too. One of my favourite Dropkick Murphys songs I only found because the AFL used it for the intro that year.
Yeah, yeah. Shipping up to
Shipping
Boston.
Shipping up to Boston, yeah. Oh, I'm so excited for Christmas.
I love Christmas. Fuck off, Christmas.
So good. I hope everyone listening, I hope you guys all have a great holidays, great Christmas, great New Year's. Get some nog.
I think of the more classic ones, like the ones from before the last 10 or so years.
Mm.
I think my favourite one that you might hear at a supermarket, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Would be this one by the Ronettes, Sleigh Ride. It's a classic.
This is definitely a supermarket song.
Voices. We got the best voices.
Fuck, I'm excited for Christmas.
Just see those sleigh bells jingling, ring, tingle, tingling.
Yes.
That's a classic. Yeah, I reckon it's my favorite sort of classic. Anyway.
It's probably about time to start thawing out Michael Bublé, isn't it? About that time of year.
I don't know if it's ever that time of year. We should have done a full Christmas special.
I didn't even think about it.
Anyway, Merry Christmas to everyone. Thanks so much for listening to our first season and a half.
Yeah, thanks for sticking out this year with us, guys. Apologies that it was a bit of a cooked one, but 2020, the year that was.
Yeah, but 2021, that's the year that's going to be the best.
Well, it's hopefully going to be better.
Yeah, it's feeling more promising. Yeah.
It'll be good. Better.
But thanks so much, everyone, for your support, listening along. Really appreciate it so much. Doing a podcast without listeners would be almost pointless. I mean, I have fun enough doing it anyway, but it is even better with you listening along. So thank you so much for that. I hope you all have an amazing Christmas and New Year's period.
Nice.
Yeah.
Happy New Year's and happy Christmas and happy holidays and everything else.
Well, if that's all we've got to say, I suppose, apart from goodbye, Astrid.
Merry Christmas and goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey mates, Matt here. At the end of the episode, just to give you a little hint as to what the next episode's going to be about. This is the first little bit of lyrics from the first track of the album. And like I say, or like we said, we're going to have a little break over Christmas, but in the new year, in 2021, we're kicking off with this huge album, with this huge track. It starts, Born Down in a Dead Man's Town. The first kick I took was when I hit the ground. You end up like a dog that's been beat too much, till you spend half your life just covering up. Catch you next year.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.